Rolling Chof Dalet Amud Beis, the fourth to last line of the narrow line that begins Rava. So more on the topic of davening for rain. The Gemara says Rava Ikla LaHagrunya. Rava one time visited Hagrunya, a name of a place in Babel, and there was no rain. Gozer time they says, so he declared a fast. Royal and they davened. Royal Samitra, but rain didn't fall. Omalahu, so Rava tells the people Bisu Kula Alma Batani Saichu. All of you, morning, Avraham Moshe, all of you stay overnight in your fast. In
which
other words,
page are we on?
Chavdalad Amud Beis is at the end of the narrow line. So Omalahu Bisu Kula Alma Batani Saichu. So Rava tells them, everybody stay overnight in your fast. And we'll continue fasting overnight, and we'll see tomorrow what to do. The next day, Rava asked them, "Mi ika dechozachel malema? If anybody had a dream last night, then please speak up and say what you saw." Omalahu Rava Lozame Hagrunya, Vididi Akriyim Bechelmi. So Rava Lozame Hagrunya says, "I was read the following message in my dream: Shlom Tov, good Shalom, L'Rav Tov, to the good Rebbe, meaning Rava, who was a Rebbe and a Rosh Hashiva, Me Ribon Tav, from the good master, meaning Hashem, Dumituve, that through his goodness, meaning because of Rava's goodness, Meitiv La'ame, Hashem does good for his people." And that was the dream. Omar, so Rava said to himself, Shmamina Esrotzimhi, Mibori Rachmi, apparently that he had such a good dream, and that in the dream I was called the Rav Tov, and that saying that in my schos Hashem will help the people. So apparently it's a good time, it's an Esrotzim to dab into Hashem, and Hashem will listen to our tefillahs more eagerly now. Sure enough, Boi Rachmi, Va'osi Mitra, sure enough, he davened for Rachmanus, and rain fell. The Chassam Sofer, by the way, points out an interesting point. He says, we're saying Shlom Tov, good peace. What other kind of peace is there? And he says, because you have a Gemara in Shabbos that says sometimes you can have a rob of a town where the people in the town like him, not so much because, and the reason is because he never tells them off in Mili Dishmaya. He never tells them off for what they're doing wrong. That's not a shlom tov. That's not a good shalom. On the other hand, then you have, the Gemara says over there, sometimes you can have a rob who does tell the people off and the people hate him for it. The best way is when he tells them off and they still love him because they realize he's doing it L'Shem Shemayim, like we had the story of Ze'ira de Min Chavraya, of Ishaya, Ze'ira de Min Chavraya yesterday. So here, the relationship that Rava had with his Kehillah, or maybe with the people of Hagrunya, was like that. It's a good kind of Shalom, and that was the point of the message, Min HaShemayim. Another example the Gemara gives of Rava davening for rain. How who gavra the Ichayev Nagdu B'Bei Dina? There was a certain person who one time was Mechoy of Malkus in Bebe Dina de Rava, in Rava's Bastin, Mishum de Boa Kusis, because he had had relations with a Goethe. So Nagde Rava, so Rava gave him Malkus, Omis, but he died from it. Now we know the Bastin is supposed to evaluate ahead of time how much Malkus the person can take, but I guess in this case, apparently they miscalculated and they gave him more than he was able to. So the guy died. Ishtama Milsa Be Shabu Malka, they heard of this in the court of King Shabu, who was the king of Persia and Babel at that time. By the way, you have the usual Shabu Malka in the Gemara was an earlier one in the time of Shmuel. This is the second king of that name. Anyway, Boilat Sa'ur and Rava, so he wanted to harass Rava for it. What are you doing? Taking the law into your own hands and killing people. But Omrulai Ifrahurm is Imid Shabu Malka, but King Shabu's mother, Ifrahurm is, told him, we have Ifrahum is mentioned in a number of places in Shas. She was very friendly with Rava. There are other places where it mentions that she used to send him tzedakah, and even one time she sent him a korban and asked him to arrange for it to be brought on her behalf, which is a goita. She's allowed to bring korbanos anywhere in the world, of course. Anyway, so she was on Rava's side. She didn't want to see her son Shabu Malka harass Rava. So she tells him, she tells her son, Loy lehavilach esek dvarim bahadi yodoi, don't start harassing the Jews. You should know how important they are. Dachol man deborim mimarayhu yohev lahu. Whatever they ask of their master, of their master, of Hashem, he gives to them. Amala maihi, so he asked, what do you mean specifically? Give me an example. She says, Boyan Rachmi Va'osin Nitra. We see that when there's a drought, they're davening for Rachmanus from Hashem and rain falls. Omar lost. Shabu Malkus is big deal. How who Mishim de Zimna de Mitrahu? You know what? That doesn't prove anything. They're davening. It happens that it's the time of rain, so therefore rain falls. So they make it look like it's happening through their tefillas, but really it was scheduled to fall anyway. Ella liborach. Or anyway, during the rainy season, so it's not so much beyond derech hateva that it should rain. Ella libo rachmi ha'idnim tchufas tamuz v'leisi mitra. Right now, it's in the middle of the summer. Let them go ahead and daven for Rachmanus. Remember, Bavel is in that sense like Eretz Yisrael. It has a climate where it doesn't rain during the summer most of the time. So they, if you want to tell me that they have such power, then fine. Let's see if they're able to daven now for rain in the middle of the summer and have it go. So Sholchalei l'Rava. So Ifrahumiz, the queen mother, sent a message to Rava. Kavin daita choboy rachmi, have kavana and daven for rachmanus to leisi mitra, that rain should come. I guess I'm sure with it. She probably told him the whole story that this is necessary in order that Shabur, in order that my son, the king, shouldn't start taking it out on you. Well, boy rachmi v'lo yosim mitra. So Rava daven for rachmanus from Hashem, but rain didn't fall. Amalafonov, so he says, Rabbanu Shalom, to quote the Pasuk, Elekim ba'oznenu shamanu, Hashem, we've heard with our ears how you used to do great nisim, l'mayla mederech hateva, in olden days, aveseinu sipurulanu, our ancestors told us, poyo pa'alta bimehem bimekedem, you did wondrous things for them in their times, in days of old. But he's saying, "V'onu be'enenu lo yireinu." But we haven't seen it with our own eyes, which doesn't mean, of course, he's not chas v'shalom denying that such nisim could happen. But in other words, he's saying, "Hashem, they had such chusim that they were able to accomplish nisim beyond derech hateva back then. Please give us the ability to do that now." In particular, Marsha says he's referring to the fact we've learned before a few times in the Masechta about how Shmuel Hanavi said that there should be rain at a time when rain would be completely unexpected in order to tell off the Jews for that they had done wrong by asking for a king, for Shaul. So now Rava is saying, Hashem, please show me the same mess again, even though also it's the summertime. Sure enough, awesome mitra, rain came, ad the shofok marzved itzipoy ledigos, until the gutters, the gutters on the roofs and on the streets and whatever, of tzipori, spilled into the Diglas, which is the Chideko River. In other words, there was so much rain that it was running off the gutters from the roofs and whatever. The question is, what's Tzipori doing over here? Tzipori is a city in Eretz Yisrael. So on the side over here, it mentions, and it says in Ein Yaakov, it should say Mechuza, that it was the gutters of Mechuza, which was the city where Rava lived. Although Rabbi Yaakov Emden says maybe not. He says maybe the point is that there was so much rain in Eretz Yisrael that the Gemara mentions elsewhere that from the rain in Eretz Yisrael, the rivers in Bavel grow larger. So the point is there was rain in Eretz Yisrael and it caused the rivers in Bavel to swell, in particular the Chideko River, even though that's not the normal time of year for that to happen. Well, so that answered Shabu's question. Yes, the Jewish people have the power to do this even out of season. However, that night, Rava's father came to him in a dream. And he says, since when should anybody be matriach Hashem so much to do a nest, to ask for a nest completely l'mayla miderech hateva? So now, it's true that Shmuel did it, but Marashah says the difference is Shmuel did it on behalf of the whole Jewish people. Rava is doing it over here, basically, that he himself shouldn't be in trouble with King Shabu. So therefore, his father is telling him from the Olam HaEmes that that wasn't the appropriate thing to do. Ben Yehoyada also adds, even if you're going to say, okay, it was needed in order that Shabu should be more better disposed towards the Jews in general, fine, but Rava didn't have to ask that there should be so much rain. He could have asked that there should be a tiny little bit of rain enough to show Shabu that Jews can make it happen even out of season. He didn't have to make it so much that we're saying the gutters are overflowing, etc. So his father tells him, you should know there's a kiturug on you in Shammai. Omale shani duchter. So he tells him, change your place. In other words, don't sleep tonight in your usual bed. Sure enough, Shani Yohde, Rava slept that night in a different place. The next day, he found that his bed was marked with knife marks. In other words, that overnight, Shadim had come to kill him, and they ended up stabbing his bed a whole bunch of times. And if he had been there, he would have been affected also. Marsha explains that when Shadim have the given power, Minashamayim, to harm a person, it's only in a particular place. So therefore, by him moving to a different place, that was enough to avoid to evade that Zera. Rashi also references something. There's a Gemara in Chulin that mentions that at one point Rava was nozu. Rava was rebuked and rejected, so to speak, Min HaShemayim, and therefore the Gemara tells a story over there about there was a certain message that it was told to another one of the Chachamim in a dream, even though it was relevant to Rava himself. So when do we find that Rava was Nazar, the great Amora Rava? So Rashi says that's from this story over here, the fact that he was Matriach, and his father had said in a dream that he was Matriach Hashem to do this Ness. In fact, for that reason, by the way, the Bach says La Halacha, even in an area where we talked about earlier in the Masechta in connection with saying the same Talamata, what do you do in places where they need rain at other times of year, after Pesach, when you're not supposed to be saying the same Talamata anymore? So we talked about saying it in Shemaya Tefillah. However, the Bach says maybe not. And he mentions a case where there were two Chachamim at two different times who recommended to their communities that they should do that. Say the same Talamata and Shemaya Tefillah, and both of those Chachamim passed away within the year. And the Bach says, you see, it's the same kind of thing, because they're being Matriach Hashem out of season. On the other hand, the Taz disagrees with that. The Taz says, absolutely not. There's no problem with them saying it in Shtilah Shemoneh Esrei. At most, fine, we can accept that what it means is you shouldn't say it in Chazorat HaShatz. And that's how it is in countries where they do need rain at other times of year. And they say the same Talamotra out of season, they only say it in the quiet Shemoneh Esrei. They don't say it in Chazorat HaShatz. Okay. Another story, Rapapa Gazar Tanis of Loyasa Mitra. Rapapa declared a fast day, but no rain fell. Cholashlive. Now Rapapa was feeling weak from the fast. Sora Pincha de Daisa. So he swallowed a spoonful of Daisa, which is like fireful or some kind of thing they made in those days out of crushed or cracked wheat. So sort of like farfel or bogel wheat or something. It was a common food in Babel. Uboirachmi. And then he was davening by the Amud for Rachmanus v'loy osimitra, and rained in full. Amalei Rav Nachman Bar Ushpazdi. So Rav Nachman Bar Ushpazdi says, or another explanation on the side over here, it brings from the Aruch, is Bar Ushpazdi is that Ushpazdi is the name of her papa's mother. So then we parse the sentence, Amalei Rav Nachman, he says, Bar Ushpazdi, he's speaking to the papa very, very, very familiarly because they were chaverim. He says to him, Bar Ushpazdi, or Bar Ushpazdi, calling him by his mother's name, E Soref Mar Pincha Chriti the Daisa, if you swallow down another spoonful of this Daisa, Osi Mitra, then rain will fall. Now it sounds almost like he's making fun of him. So, and Rashi says exactly that. He's telling him as a joke, because what are you doing eating before you're davening, especially at the tiniest tzibur? Well, Rapapa was embarrassed, v'cholosh daite, and he felt bad, and then v'osim mitra, and then the rain came. And in fact, one of the explanations is that that's exactly what Rav Nachman wanted to accomplish with that. Is he wanted, what is he doing? They're making fun of Rapapa like that in public? He wanted that Rapapa should feel that sense of embarrassment, which then that would be the trigger that we need in order for him to feel more tzibrochen and for rain to fall. Another explanation, actually, is he meant it seriously. He meant, look, apparently you still don't have enough kavana. I think Ben Yehoyada says this. Apparently, you still don't have enough kavana. Maybe you should eat a little more, and then you'll be able to have proper kavana and daven, and then Hashem will bring rain. But Rapapa took it as mockery rather than as a serious suggestion, and he got embarrassed. Okay. Another story about davening for rain. Rav Chanina ben Dosa have a ka'ozol ba'urcha. Rav Chanina ben Dosa one time was walking on the road. Awesome mitra, and rain started falling. There's a version of the story. There are some of them in Poshim that have a version over here that he was carrying on his head a package of salt. So now that's going to get dissolved by the rain. Omelafonov. So he says to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Kola Olam Kulei Benachas VaChanina B'Tzar. The whole world is at ease because the rain is good for them, but Chanina right now is in Tzar, and Pasuk Mitra, the rain stopped. Then when Rav Chanina got home, Omar Lufanov, he says to Hashem, Ribbono Shel Olam, Kola Olam Kulei B'Tzar VaChanina B'Nachas. The whole world is in trouble now because they don't have rain, and Chanina is at ease because he himself, Rav Chanina himself, he first of all, he's at home, so So he's not being bothered by the rain. And Rashi explains he doesn't need rain. He doesn't have any field. As the Gemara is going to go on to say, he was extremely poor. So now I'm at ease, but everybody else is feeling bad. And also Mitra, and the rain started coming. Marsha explains, this Gemara is also in Yuma. Marsha explains over there, that, what do you mean? Rav Hanina is going to ask for rain to stop for the entire world, for the entire Eretz Yisrael or whatever, just because of his own personal comfort. So he explains that with the first time when Rav Hanina said that the rain should stop, it didn't need it so badly yet. So therefore, it would have been nice to have, but it wasn't a necessity, whereas right then and there, he was going to be in Sarah, as opposed to by the time he gets home, it really is a necessity, and therefore he's davening for it to start again. Amar Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef comments on this. Maya Hanya like Tzloisa, the Kohen Gadol, the Gabriel Chanan Mendoza. Look at that. What good does the Kohen Gadol's tefillah do on Yom Kippur against Rav Hanina ben, when it comes to Rav Hanina Mendoza, because Rav Hanina has greater schosim, and he's able to override the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. Namely, the Tznan. We learn in a Mishnah in Yuma. Hayim espalo tefillah ktsara b'bayis hachitzen, that after the Kohen Gadol did, brought the Ketores and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he would daven a short tefillah in the outer chamber, in the Kodesh, in the Heichel. So my matzli, so the Gemara discusses over there, what did he daven? The Robin ba'oda v'rav ba'ada da'ami tavayu m'shmei de Rabbi Huda, both these Amoroyim said in the name of Rabbi Huda. The first part of his tefillah was, Yehi rotzen melfanacha Hashem elakenu, this year should be rainy and hot. What do you mean? To ask that it should be a hot year, is that an advantage? Isn't that a negative thing? It's too hot, it's uncomfortable. Ella, no. What we mean is what the Kohen Gadol actually said was, im shchuna tehei gishuma. If it was already nigzo that this year is going to be a hot year, then it should be to compensate for that, it should be a rainy year. So that way the heat is not too bad. Utlula, and should be a year with lots of dew. But and he would continue, the Kohen Gadol would continue in his tefillah, but al yukonis lefanecha tefillas over edrachim. The tefillah of travelers should not come before you, where travelers, like we're saying, like Rav Hanina Mendoza, would like for it not to rain because it inconveniences them. The Kohen Gadol asks, Hashem, don't listen to such tefillas because the people need rain more than that. So Rav Yosef is saying, look at this, Rav Hanina is able to override that tefillah. And the Gemara continues, Rav Acha Brei D'Rava Mesayim Meshmei D'Rav Yehuda. Rav Acha Brei D'Rava continued also in the name of Rav Yehuda, that there was more to the tefillah. The Kohen Gadol also daven, Lo Yadi Abid Shulton Midveis Yehuda. There should never go away from Yehuda somebody who exercises rulership. So in the first Beis Mikdash, that would have been the kings. In the time of the second Beis Mikdash, it was the Nesiim. And Ba'al Yu, Amcha Yisrael, Tzrichan Leispanis, Zemizeh, V'loy Lam Acha, the Jewish people should not need to have parnasa from one another or from other nations. In other words, they should have parnasa, the Shefa, and they don't need to ask the Tzedakah from each other or from the nation or to go and conquer other nations in order to improve the economy, etc. So that was the tefillah of the Kohen Gadol. So they were saying that Rav Hanina ben Dosa, with his chosim, is able to override the effect of that tefillah. So now let's talk a little bit more about how great Rav Hanina ben Dosa was. Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, b'chol yoyim v'yoyim, basko yoytzes v'imeres, every day a basko comes out and announces, kola olam kula nizin b'shvil Hanina b'ni, the whole world is sustained in the schus of mice because of my son Hanina, v'chanina b'ni, daye b'kab choruvim, erev Shabbos, erev Shabbos. Meanwhile, my son, Hanina, makes do with a calf, which is about a couple of pounds, of carobs from one Erev of Shabbos to the next. The whole week, that's what he and his family live off of. So in other words, Rashi says he was very poor, so therefore they had to live off carobs. Some of Foshim explain, in other words, that we don't mean necessarily that even now Rav Hanina ben Dosa is long gone from the world. We mean that in Rav Hanina ben Dosa's time, that was the basko. Maybe the idea is, in other words, in later generations, in every generation, you have a high-level tzaddik like that who the basko says about him, that the whole world is sustained in his chutz. The vote, b'shvil Hanina b'ni, is a vote from the Baal Shem Tov. The word b'shvil means in the path. So like Rav Hanina ben Dosa has opened up the path for everybody else to be able to get parnasa, but meanwhile he doesn't have any. And there's places in Chassidus, there's a maimer of the Rebbe Maharash, where it talks about that the charuvim that he ate are associated with the Chag Charuv that we learned about in the Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that there's going to be a point when the world is on a much higher level after the 6,000 years of the world. The world is going to be on a much higher level, which is called Chag Charuv, or Trei Charuv. As we learned over there, sort of Chanina Mendoza is already on that level, therefore his Parnasa is not really able to come down in the Gashmias, in an unrefined Gashmiastic world like it is now, which is why he only had his Charuvim from one week to the next. But meanwhile, the whole world is sustained in his course. So the Gemara continues. Every Erev Shabbos, his wife would heat up the oven, and she would put something in the oven that would produce a lot of smoke. Because of embarrassment. She didn't want the neighbors and the people in town to know how poor they are, that they can't even afford challahs for Shabbos. So like this, everybody would think, they'd see a lot of smoke coming out of the chimney, they would think that she's baking recovered Shabbos. Well, she had a bad neighbor, a nosy neighbor. Umra, and this neighbor says to herself, look, I know that they don't have anything. My kulahai, so what's all the smoke coming out of the chimney every Erev Shabbos? What are they actually baking? Ozla the turfa baba. So she went and knocked on the door. Ichsefa, so Rav Chanina Mendoza's wife was embarrassed, but Ilola in Deroina, she went into another room of the house. Isabidlon Nisa, then on the spot a nest happened for her. Dechazio Tanura Molly Lachma, all of a sudden this neighbor, apparently the idea is that after the neighbor just let herself in, and she all of a sudden saw, or maybe she looked in through the window. She saw the oven full of dough, the Agna Molly Lisha, and a tray full of an oven full of bread that was baking, and a tray full of dough that had been kneaded that was ready to be baked. In fact, Maharsha says so. Not only the bread in the oven came there b'derech nes, but even the bowl came there b'derech nes. They didn't have a bowl either, because what would they have a mixing bowl for if they don't have bread anyway? So even the bowl itself came about all of a sudden b'derech nes to save her from embarrassment. Omrala, so this nosy neighbor calls out, Planissa, Planissa, Icy Masa, Plonius, whatever Chanina Mendoza's wife's name is, bring a spatula to take the oven out of the to take the bread out of the oven. The Kachorich Lachmach, your bread is about to burn. Omrala, and Chanina Mendoza's wife says, Afanala, Hochi Aili. Yeah, thank you. That's actually what I just went into the room to get, is to get the spatula. Tanan, in fact, we learn in a brisa, Afila Havi Mirda Nechasa. It's true, she did go in there to get the spatula. It wasn't only that she went in there because she was embarrassed. Maybe at first, some of them approached him, say, okay, at first she was embarrassed, but then right away she pulled herself together, had bitachin, that Hashem is not going to allow them to be embarrassed publicly like that, and she went and got the spatula. And in fact, Maharsha explains what Rashi is saying over here, that she had a spatula for that purpose. She didn't even need to borrow one from the neighbors on a regular basis like this. She has to put something in the oven to make smoke. But why does she have a spatula in the first place if there's no bread to take out of the oven? Because she had one, Mipnation, Melamedes Benissim. She was accustomed to Nissim happening. Therefore, she always had one on hand so that when the Ness happens and she knew that it's going to happen anytime, then she'll have the spatula ready for the bread. So that's why she's saying to the neighbor, that's why I actually went into the room to get the spatula, and that's why and she's thinking to herself, that's why I have one in the first place, in order for such a nissim like this. So that way she and her family weren't embarrassed. There is, by the way, now we learned yesterday that you're not supposed to benefit from mice and nissim. It sounds like over here they did. It sounds like they had actually chalas that Shabbos. So what happened to not benefiting from mice in this sim? So there is one of the explanations is that in this case, they did have a little bit of flour. So the fact that the flour became more, the fact that it was enough to have dough and challah and whatever, that's you could say, in other words, that's not so much mice in this sim. That's like with the story of Eliyahu, like the story of Eliyahu with the Ishat Sophasis, with the little bit of flour and oil that she had, where it lasted for her and her son and Eliyahu for a while, or like the story with the Isha, like the story with the wife of Evadia, with a little bit of oil that became a huge amount of oil. So that's not considered so much mice and nissim, as opposed to the story we had yesterday where the malachim were taking sand and turning it into flour. That's mice and nissim, which you shouldn't have hana from. But over here, it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, another story. Omra le dvesu. So one time, Rav Chanina ben Dosa's wife said to him, "Ad emas nezo v'nitzdayo kolahai." how long are we going to be going and having such tsar that we're living so poorly? Isn't there anything we can do about it? So Amar lo my neved. So he asked her, so what do you want me to do? She tells him, Bo yirach mi dines v'loch midi. Ask Hashem for Rachmanos, that he should give you something. Bar Rachmi, so he davened for Rachmanos from Hashem. Yotzuk min pisas yad, so something of the semblance of the appearance of a human hand came out from Shemayim. V'yavu v'chad kara d'psoda d'dava. And they gave him one leg of a golden table. So now that would be more than enough for him to sell and live off the proceeds for a long time. But Chazoy, Chazia Bechelma, but then his wife saw in a dream, Asidi Tzadika De'achle Apsoda De'dava, the Islay Tlaskari. In the future, in the Olam Haba, the Tzadikim are each going to be eating by a golden table that has three legs. The act of Omar law, Ochelas absurd the Trekari, the Ihu, whatever, absurd Ochelas absurd the Trekari, and she sees in her dream that he, her husband, is eating by a table of only two legs. So Omrale or Omar law, whatever, Michalach the Mechel Achli Kula Ama absurd the Mishlam, Vanan absurd the Choser, the Mechser. So she says to him, or according to the Girsa on the side, he says to her, Are you okay with eating on a that everybody else should be eating by a complete table, and we are going to be eating by a table that's missing a leg? It's not right. In other words, this leg apparently came from our future table, Olam Haba, and if we have it now, it means we're taking away from our schar in Olam Haba. Omrelayu my neved. So she says to him, okay, so what should we do? And so she says, Boi rachmi de nishkalinu minach. So daven to Hashem that he should take the leg back from you. Sure enough, Boi rachmi, daven for Rachmanas from Hashem, was shakluhu, and Hashem took the leg back. Tana, in fact, we learn in Brice, Godol hoya nes achron, yosem in addition. That second nest that Hashem took it back is greater than the first one. Digmiri, we have the Kabbalah, the mehav yavi, Hashem gives, min Hashemayim, mishkal le shakli, but Hashem doesn't take back. Marsha says, Al Derech, like the Gemara says elsewhere, that when Hashem declares that there's going to be a good thing happening, it's going to happen regardless, even if the people don't deserve it. So that Hashem should take something back is almost unheard of, and yet here Hashem took back the table leg. By the way, Rabbi Akiva Eger here in Gilyon Ashas refers to a medrash that tells a very similar story involving Rabbi Shimon ben Chalafta, who was one of the Talmidim of Rebbe, where he also was very poor and was given a jewel, Min HaShemayim, and there, so Rebbe was very happy for him and was willing to buy the jewel from him, but then Rabbi Shimon Chalafta's wife tells Rebbe that, no, it's going to take away from our Olam Haba, and Rebbe says, okay, I'll make it up for my own Olam Haba, and she tells him, no, every person has their own individual place in Olam Haba. You can't give from one to the other, and so she convinces her husband and she convinces Rebbe that the right thing to do would be to daven for the jewel to be taken back. Similar stories. The thing about the three legs, by the way, a very interesting thing. The Yaris Dvash of Yonis and Ibishit says, the vote is, we know, Ashlosha Dvarim Olam Omed, Ala Todav Ala Avodav Agmils Chasadim. Why did Rab Chanina Ben Dosa and his wife at first want some money? So they should be able to do Gmils Chasadim, so they should be able to do Tzedakah. But they're being shown in Hashemayim that in a way what they're accomplishing now is better, because if they actually have money to give tzedakah, not always are the aniyim deserving of it, etc., etc. So your gemilas chasadim might not be so complete. You might be in that sense missing one leg of your table, as opposed to like this when you want to give tzedakah, machshava tova, Kadosh Baruch Hu mitzarif for the ma'aseh, and in the most perfect kind of ma'aseh. So therefore, your table will be complete with all three legs. The Gemara continues with another story involving Rav Chanina Mendoza. Chad Bei Shimshi, one Bein Ashmoshes, meaning one Friday night after Shkia. Rashi over here says that I don't know why Bei Shimshi refers specifically to Erev Shabbos. There are a few other places in Shas where Rashi gives a reason for it, because Bein Ashmoshes, a Friday, is distinctive compared to any other day. This might be another one of those proofs that the Pirush on Masechta Tainis is not from Rashi, because in a few other places in Shas, he says he doesn't know a reason. Anyway, so one Bei Shimshi, so one Erev Shabbos after Shkia. Rav Chanina ben Dosa saw that his daughter was upset. So he asked her, my daughter, why are you upset? She says to him, I mixed up the jar of vinegar with the jar of oil, and I lit the Shabbos candles with the vinegar, and it's going to go out soon because vinegar doesn't burn. And it's already too late to fix up the situation.
Amala, so he says to her, Biti mai ichbaslach, what do you care? Don't worry about it. Misha Amala Shemen v'yidlik, hu yomel achemetz v'yidlik. The same Hashem who said that oil burns can also say that vinegar should burn. Tana, and in fact, we learn in a braisa, in fact, that candle remained lit the entire day, even though regular Shabbos candles go out after a couple of hours. This particular one, in order to be mefarsim in the nest, continued lasting the entire Shabbos, until they used it for fire, till they took fire from it to make Havdalah. Meaning Rashi says, now this is an example of, Rashi says they didn't want to use Mais and Nisim, therefore they didn't want to use the light of this candle itself for Havdalah, therefore they lit another candle from it, and then they put out this one in order not to be benefiting from Mais and Nisim. On the other hand, Rabbi Yaakov Emden talks about maybe that's not necessary, they had other light in the house, and so forth, so therefore maybe it's not considered Mais and Nisim. Maybe to use it wouldn't be considered Mais and Nisim because they had other light anyway. There is actually a sicha where the Rebbe pointed out an interesting point. Why did Rav Chanina ben Dosa require, why did he say that instead the vinegar will burn? If he has the ability to do such nisim anyway, why does he need to do a nest that's a little closer to Teva? Let the vinegar become oil and then it'll burn. And the answer is because he was on such a high level that to him, Ness and Teva are no different. Everything of Teva, to him, he also visualized as a Ness, which is why he's saying oil doesn't burn because of its chemical properties. It burns because Hashem said so. So for it to turn into oil and then burn would require, in effect, two Nissim. One for it to turn into oil and the other one for that oil to burn. So therefore, instead, it's only one Ness that the vinegar itself burns. There is, by the way, we just finished Hanukkah. There's a vote. They say there's the famous question of the Beis Yosef, why we light the menorah for 8 days when the nest really on the face of it was only for seven, because one day they had one day's supply of oil. And as we know, there are dozens, even hundreds of answers to that question. One answer is, in fact, based on that, on this Gemara over here, we need to remember that the very fact that oil burns itself is a command of Hashem and is a nest of its own, even though we don't really recognize it as such. So therefore, we have one day to recognize that and the other seven to recognize that the oil continued burning more than Derech HaTeva. Okay. Another story involving Rav Chanina ben Dosa. Rav Chanina ben Dosa habalai hanach izi. He had goats. Now, what's he doing having goats? We're going to talk about in a little bit in the Gemara. Omrulay, so people complain to him, Kamapsidan, those goats are damaging our crops. And in fact, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, Lahalacha, you're not allowed to raise goats in Eretz Yisrael. So they're telling him that the goats are going and then grazing in our fields and ruining them. Omar, sort of Chanina ben Dosa says, E Kamapsidan, listen, if they really are harming your field, Nechlinu Dubi, then let wolves eat them up. Dubi usually means usually would mean bears, but Rashi explains over here it means ze'evim basadis, wolves in the field. Mepharshim explained because bears don't live in the field; bears live in the forests. So if they're really damaging the fields, then wolves should eat them up. Meaning he's so certain that they're not that he's willing to risk them. As the Gemara is going to say soon, these weren't even his goats. So how could he risk somebody else's goats? Because he knew for a fact that these goats are not damaging anybody's fields. The Eloi, and he continues, if not, if in fact it's not true and these goats are not damaging anybody's fields, then every one of those goats this evening should come back home from grazing out in the forest or wherever they graze, should come home dragging home a wolf on its horns, a dead wolf. Sure enough, that evening, every one of them came home dragging a dead wolf on its horn. So in other words, b'derech hateva, the wolves would kill kill the goats. Here it was the other way around because of his schus. And because, in fact, the goats weren't harming anybody's fields, then Hashem helped and said the other way around, the goats killed the wolves, and each one is dragging home a dead wolf on its horn. The Gemara continues with another story. Havalei ahishi bavda. Now, Rav Chanina ben Dosa had a certain neighbor, a certain lady neighbor, the Kabanya Besa, who was building a house. V'lei matu kshuri, and the beams she got for the purpose were too short, so they wouldn't reach from one wall to another. Asya l'kamei, so she came to Rav Chanina ben Dosa, knowing that he's a tzaddik and he can fix up things with his tefillos. Omrulei, she tells him, that's the problem. Bonisi Besi, I built my house. V'lei kamotu kshuroi, my beams are not reaching from one end to the other like they're supposed to. They're too short. Amrle Mashmech. So he asked her, what's your name? Amrle Eichu. So she says, my name is Eichu. So he says, okay, Eichu Nimtu Kshurayich. Eichu, may your beams reach from one end to the other. Maybe they become longer. And in fact, Tana, we learn in a Braisa, he deal, they became so long, longer even than necessary. Adshiyatsu, Amalekan, va'amalekan, until they stuck out one ama on each side of the house. And the reason for that was, again, in order to be mefarisim in the nest, this way, whenever people pass by that house and see this house with these beams sticking out, they're going to realize what a nest happened over here and thank Hashem for it. The yeshayim sniffing asol. Some say that these beams were made out of pieces. Sniffing means pieces. So the derech nest, a bunch of smaller pieces of wood got attached to them. The derech nest, so that now they're long enough. In other words, according to the first version, each beam is one solid piece from end to end. And according to the other version, it looks like you can see it's a bunch of pieces as though they were nailed together, but they weren't actually nailed together. They came longer. The derech nest. So Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Plimo, who lived in a later generation, says, Anira Isi Oisi Abayis, I saw that house, and indeed the beams were still an amma sticking out an amma on each side. But Omruli, and people told me, this is the house that Rav Chanina Mendoza roofed with his tefillah. Now, again, don't you have the problem of not benefiting from mice and missim? So an obvious answer is that this woman was not on that level to worry about that, so she didn't care about that. But then there were different answers, one of them being that the fact that the beams are long enough is not a direct benefit, it's indirect more. The benefit is that you live in the house and you have a ceiling. The ceiling, in turn, is held up by the beams. So it's more of an indirect thing, therefore it's not necessarily considered benefiting from mice and missim. And again, another answer would be, based on what Rabbi Yaakov Emden said, what we said before, that when there's something which then becomes bigger, then it's not considered mice and missim. So here, there was already a beam, it was just too short. Getting back to the story with the goats, the Gemara asked for Rav Chanina ben Dosa Mehechan Havula Isim. How does Rav Chanina ben Dosa come to have goats? First of all, he was poor, like we said before. And also, the Chachamim said you're not allowed to raise small animals, sheep and goats, in Eretz Yisrael, precisely for that reason, because they're going to damage other people's fields. If you want to raise them in Eretz Yisrael, you have to have them out in the forest or in Hefker areas or whatever. So Amar Pinchas, because what happened was, so it happened once that a person passed by Rav Chanina ben Dosa's door. He left some chickens there that he had with him. He put them down in order to rest or whatever, and then he forgot them there. Rav Chanina ben Dosa's wife found the chickens there later. And Rav Chanina ben Dosa told her, don't even eat the eggs of them because they don't belong to us. We have to return them to the guy who left them here. Well, eventually, here were baits in the town of Golem. Eventually, there were more and more eggs and more chickens. And it's bothering them. They weren't set up to take care of a bunch of chickens. Umochron, sort of Chanina ben Dosa sold the chickens. But Konabid man is him, and he bought goats with the money. So that's how he comes to have goats. And continues the story. Pam achas over oisa odom. One time, that person who lost the chicken passed by there again. And he says to his friend, you know, many years ago, I put my chickens over here. I wonder whatever happened to them. Shomer of Chanina, so Rav Chanina overheard him and came out. Omalo, he asked him, Yesh lecha b'hen simen? Do you have a simen in those chickens? Omalo, he says, yes. Nosanle, simen, but not also isin. So he gave him a simen and took the goats. Behein, hein, easy to ask the ice of Drubri b'karnayu. And those are the very same goats that we had before in the story where they dragged home dead wolves with their horns. That a nest happened. Now, you still do have the question. Granted, Rav Chanina ben Dosa had to sell the chickens, and Me'ikar Adin, all he'd have to do really is set aside the money, and the guy will just take the money when he comes. Fine, Rav Chanina ben Dosa wanted to act L'Fnim Meshuras Adin and buy something that'll continue increasing in value, but why dafka goats? If we're saying Ein Megadlin Behema Daka Be'Eretz Yisrael, he should have bought something else. And so Marsha actually brings from a Tosfos, which is not printed over here, but it's printed in Ein Yaakov, that tells the story a little differently, that has a different girsa, not that the guy left chickens over there and eventually they sold the chickens and the eggs and bought goats, but rather to begin with that the guy left goats there. well, then the other guy maybe was doing wrong by raising goats in Eretz Yisrael. But once Rav Hanina ben Dosa found them, then he has to keep them because then he has to keep them because you can't go. What are you going to do? You have to do Hashavas Aveda. So therefore, necessarily, he had to keep them. And so when the neighbors complained, then we had to have this nest about the wolves. Another story involving a great tzaddik who was very poor, Rabbi Lozab and Pedos de Chikalei Milsa Tova, Rabbi Lozab and Pedos, who was, this is the when we have the Amora Rabbi Lozar in Shas without specifying, that is this Rabbi Lozab and Pedos. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. Rashi refers to over here that he's called in the Gemara Mora de Ara de Eretz Yisrael. He's the master of Eretz Yisrael because in particular he was expert in the dinim of Hilchos Nida. Of Maris Domin. Anyway, but he was very, very poor. So one time, Ovid Mil, so one time he had bloodletting done. But I have a medial mitam, and afterwards he didn't have anything to eat. As we learned a couple of days ago in the story of Abba Umna, after bloodletting, just like nowadays, after you donate blood, you're supposed to eat and drink something to replenish your strength. He was so poor, he couldn't afford anything. Shokal bora de tuma, he took a clove of garlic, the shadi bakume, and he put it in his mouth as something at least to eat, but it was too strong for him. Cholash libe, he felt weak. He fainted the nim, and he was asleep. He was in a faint. Ozer rabon l'shayulibe, so the chachamim came to check in on him. Chazu de kabochi v'chayich, they saw as he was sleeping, as he was in this faint or this coma or whatever, they saw that he's crying and laughing, and that a spark of fire came out of his forehead. So what's going on over there? What's going on while he's sleeping and while he's dreaming? Ki ita, when he woke up, they asked him, "My time of kabochas v'chayches, why were you crying and then laughing in your sleep?" He tells them, "Davi Yosef imi Hakadosh Baruch Hu." Kavyochol Hashem himself was sitting with me, but Amalei, but Amrilei, and Rebbe Lozer says, I said to him, Ad Mosei Etzdar B'Hayama, how long am I going to be suffering in this world? I'm so desperately poor, so much that even now with the bloodletting, I fainted from not having food after it. What can I do? But Amalei, and Hashem tells me, Elozer B'ni, my son Elozer, Nichalach De'apche La'alma Mireisha, would you like that I overturn the world and start it over again? And maybe that way you'll be born at a time when your mazel shows on mizonis. In other words, because the Gemara mentions elsewhere that boni chayo mizoni depends on mazel, depends on the shodesh of a person's neshama. So Hashem is telling him, in other words, the way that the world is created now, you don't have a mazel that would allow for parnasa. But would you like me to recreate the whole world, and then maybe you'll be, then maybe things will be different, and you'll be born with a mazel and with a shodesh of an neshama that can have parnasa. It's a hard thing to say that Hashem is offering to restart the whole world for the sake of Rebbe Lazar. So actually, Maharshal says we don't mean the whole world. We mean, in other words, that Hashem is offering to recreate Rebbe Lazar himself. In other words, he's an olam mole himself from the start, and maybe it'll be at a time of mizonis. There's a maimer of the Rebbe Marash in the middle of the, there's a hemshech of the famous hemshech of the Rebbe Marash called Mayim Rabim. And at one point in it, he talks about the idea of how mazel affects a person and what that means. And he mentions this Gemara over here, and he explains that Hashem was offering that to start Meresha means from Chochmah. So like to restart everything, to go from Chochmah downwards and through the whole Seder Ishtalshalos. And then have things be different. Amri Lakameh, so Rabbi Lazar continues telling the conversation. So I said to him, Kulei hai v'efsher, you're telling me you would go to such length, and even then it's not even a certainty that I would be born under a mazel of mizonis, only a possibility. And Rabbi Lazar continues, Amri Lakameh, so then I said to Hashem, let me ask, d'chaye tfei o d'chayina, what's longer, the amount of time I've lived so far or the amount of time I have yet to live? Amalei dechoyis. So Hashem tells him the amount you've lived is longer than the amount you're going to live. So now that's why he's crying, realizing that he doesn't have, relatively speaking, that long to live. Ami l'kameim kein loy b'ina. So he says, so Rabbi Elazar continues the conversation, tell them the conversation. He says, in that case, then I don't want it. I don't want you to restart the whole world. I don't want you to even restart me. I may as well just stick with what I have. One reason being because, look, if a person is in this world, in order to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, so if I've already accomplished more, if I've already lived more than half of my life and accomplished that, then I have no reason to want to start over again. So Hashem says, so Rabbi Elazar continues that Hashem told me, Bahai Agra de Amrit Loi Ba'ina, in the reward for this that you're saying I don't want to be restarted over, that you're willing to accept Hashem Zera as it is, in the schus of that, Yehivna Loch La Alma de Osi, Tlesri Narvosa de Mishcha Farsim and Dachim, Kipros Vedig, Yehivna Loch La Alma de Osi, I will give you in Olam Abba, Tlesri Narvosa, 13 rivers, the Mishcha Afarsim and Dachyan of pure Afarsim and oil, which is balsam oil, which has a beautiful fragrance, Kipros Vidiglas, which will be as large as the rivers Pros and Chideko, the Ma'angas Bahu, and you will be able to enjoy those 13 rivers. Obviously, it refers to very high levels of Giluyim of Elikus. In particular, in Chassidus, it talks about that oil in general represents Chochma, so it means that he's going to be able to achieve a very high level of Chochma, a very high level of closeness with Elikus. Amri Lekameh, so Rabbi Elazar continues, I said to Hashem, Hai Vituloi, is that all? Aren't you going to give me anything else? Omali, so Hashem says to him, nu, and if I give you more, what am I going to give to the other tzaddikim? Amri le, so Rabbi Elazar says, I said to Hashem, ba'ano mi gavra the less le ba'ina. I want to get from somebody who doesn't have his own. Rashi points out that his Rebbe didn't have that in his Girsa of the Gemara, but Rashi's own Girsa does have that. Anyway, so he's saying, in other words, everybody, there, sometimes you have a person who doesn't have a place in Olam Haba. So fine, I'm not expecting you to take away from a different tzaddik. I'm asking Hashem to take from somebody else who anyway is not going to have a chelik Olam Haba and give that to me as well. Or there's actually a different explanation from the Sfas Emes that says that he's asking rhetorically, "Ba'anomi gavra the less labor ina." What am I asking from a human being who doesn't have enough to be able to give to one person? If he can, whatever he gives to one person, he can't give from to the other. I'm asking from you, the Eibishter, your Kol Yochel. You have the ability to give me more and not take away from anybody else. So he finishes off. So far we have the crying was that he knew that relatively speaking, he doesn't have that long to live. The laughing, the happiness was he was told about his tremendous reward in Gan Eden. And now comes the third part. Machin be'iskutla apusoi. So Hashem flicked me with his finger on my forehead. Ba'omali, and he says to me, like in a joking way, Elazar b'ni giri bach giri. Elazar, my son, I've hit you with my arrows. So Rashi says it in a joking way. So now that was the spark of fire that they saw coming from his forehead was when Kavyachal Hashem flicked him with his finger on his forehead. So the Aruch actually explains Giri doesn't mean arrows over here. It means V'asid Lover, you're going to have many Gerim. You're going to have many, it can mean Gerim B'pashtos, it can mean Gerim as in the Tzutzis of Kedusha, that are going to be attached to you, V'asid Lover. Ben Yehoyada says the vote is, it's not that Rabbi Elazar is saying, when Rabbi Elazar is asking for even more than the reward Hashem is proposing for him, it's not that Hashem is saying I would have to take away from somebody else. Hashem is saying, won't the other tzaddikim be jealous? After all, why are you getting so much extra and not them? And Rabbi Elazar says, so what? You know, there can be somebody else who doesn't have a Gan Eden anyway, so I can take from his portion. So when Hashem flicks him with the finger on the forehead, it's like a hidden message. Use your brain and understand why I'm saying that you can't have more. It's not because I don't have more to give you, but because it's not right that the other tzaddikim are going to be jealous. What are you going to answer to them? Okay, another story involving getting back to stories about davening for rain. We digress to talk about Rav Chanina Mendoza and Rav Elazar. So getting back to davening for rain, Rav Chama bar Chanina gozer tanisa v'lo osim bitra. Rav Chama bar Chanina declared a tainis and rain didn't come. Omrulei, so they said to him, v'hor Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi gozer tanisa v'lo osim bitra. What's the matter? Didn't Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi declare a fast previously and rain fell? Omalahu, so the Palmer says, what do you want? Ha no, ha barley voy. There's me, there's barley voy, there's Rabbi Shoban Levi. He's one person, I'm a different person. Obviously, he's on a higher level than me. Omrulay, so they told him, okay, Dinesi, why don't we bring the two of you together? The Nikavan Daitin, let's have Kavana. Everybody should have Kavana together. After the Tavri Tzibur Libayu, the Osimitra, this way, maybe the Tzibur's heart will be broken and rain will come. In particular, in other words, like this, they're going to have to see. It takes the combined efforts of two great tzaddikim, of Chama Bar Chanina and Rabbi Shor ben Levi, to bring rain. Maybe that'll be enough to break people's hearts and realize how bad the situation is. So, Bon Rachmi, so sure enough, the two of them got together with the Tzibur, and they're davening for Rachmanus, V'loy Osimitra, but rain didn't fall. Omalahu, so now Rav Chama Bar Chanina, or Rabbi Shor ben Levi, or maybe both, he asks them, they ask the people, Nichalachu sheyave mater b'shvilenu, do you accept that rain should come in our zchus, meaning, in other words, various mefoshim talk about Rabbi Yaakov Emden, Ben Yehoyada, talk about in different osius that when the rain comes in the zchus of the tzibur, it's better than when it comes in the zchus of a yachid. So they're saying, listen, the best thing would have been if it came in the zchus of you, the tzibur, but since it's not, are you willing to accept second best, and it should come in our zchus, the zchus of us two tzaddikim combined? Omru lehein, so the people said yes. Omar, so Rav Chama Bar Chanina said, Rakia, Rakia, Kasi Ponaich, heaven, cover up your face with clouds, in other words. Loi Kasi, well, it didn't cover up. Omar, Kama as in Pnei Rakia. He says how chutzpidik is the Rakia that it's not covering itself with clouds out of respect for the tzibur when it's being told to do so. And then, Ikasi v'osimitra, then at that point, the sky was covered with clouds and rain started falling. Another story, the Gemara says, Levi Gozatan Nisav Loi Osim Mitra. Levi one time declared, this is Levi, the Talmud of Rebbe, declared a fast day and rain didn't come. Omalafanav, so he says a very sharp thing to Hashem. Ribbono Shel Olam, Olisa v'yashavta b'morim, you've gone and sat up in the heaven, ve'ein after merachem al bonecha, and you're not having rachmonos on your children. Now, there's a truth to what he's saying. It's true that sometimes when the Jewish people are not acting the way they should, then Hashem does kavyocho withdraw up to Shemayim. But nevertheless, it's still a very brash thing for Levi to say something like that to Hashem, that you're not having rachmonos on your children. So osimitra, so rain started falling, the ipla, but also on the other hand, Levi became lame from that. He couldn't walk properly anymore. And Omer Rav Elazar. So Rav Elazar says later on, we learn from this that a person should never throw words at Hashem, like this way he's throwing harsh words at Hashem. Because we see that a great person threw words with a break kite like that against Hashem, and he became lame. Umanu Levi, who was that great person? Levi, as we just said. So be careful about that. So the Gemara says, "V'hol garmalei." You're telling me that this is what caused it—the fact that he tiach dvarim klape mayla. V'hol, but we know there's a different thing. Levi ach v'kida kamei de Rebbe. We learned this in Sukkah that Levi one time demonstrated kida in front of Rebbe. Kida, you have many times in Pesukim where it says vayikdu vayishtach vayikod vayishtachvu vayikdu whatever. So it means that you bend at the waist. So that your mouth is touching the ground, and then you lift yourself up only with your thumbs. So in other words, in other places, Rashi explains that therefore, say now there's only so much weight you can put on your thumbs. Therefore, most of your body weight you're having to put on your thighs and your hips as you're getting up, and therefore, so Levi one time did that, the Itla, and he became lame from that. So we see it became lame from that, not from the Hitiach Dvarim Klapei Mayla. And the answer is the Gemara says hova ho garmalei. Both things caused it. The fact that he had spoken out of turn to Hashem is why. Then when he tried kiddah, then he became lame. So in other words, Tosfos says that when did it actually happen is when he tried kiddah. But what caused that the kiddah should have such an effect on him is the fact that he had spoken to Hashem like that. Another story, Rav Chanina Baluluyoni, Shaminu Lahanachanoni, Rav Chia Baluluyoni one time overheard some clouds, meaning not the clouds themselves, they don't talk. Marshall explains it means the Malachim in charge of the clouds. The Ka'amri, they're saying, Nesu, let's go, the Nesvi Maya Ba'amun and Moyav. Let's shed our water, let's rain in Amun and Moyav, which are east of Eretz Yisrael. Amalafanov, but Rav Chia Bar Lulani says that's not right. Ribbono Shel Olam, Kshenasat the Torah la'amcha Yisrael, when you gave the Torah to your people, the Jewish people, chazarta al kol umas ha'olam, you went around from to all the different nations to offer it to them, v'lo kibluha, and they didn't want to accept it. V'achshav ata noisen lahem mater, now you want to give them rain and not to Eretz Yisrael. Shadu hacha. Instead, he tells the clouds, or the malachim in charge of the clouds, throw down the rain or make it rain over here in Eretz Yisrael. Sure enough, shadua aduchtayu, sure enough, they made it, sure enough, they started raining in that place. Since we're mentioning of Chiyah Baluliyani, so the Gemara mentions another drasha from him. Drasha of Chiyah Baluliyani, my dichtiv tzaddik katomo yifrach ke'eres balvoni niska, when it says that tzaddik will flourish and will flower like a palm tree, and it will flower like a palm tree, and it will increase like the cedar in Levanon. It's a why two different metaphors. Im nema tomo lama nema eres, im nema eres lama nema tomo. Why does it compare the tzaddik to both a palm tree and a cedar tree? So, ilu nema tomo v'la nema eres, the reason is, if it said only a palm tree, not a cedar tree, ha'yisi oimer, then I would have thought, ma tomo ein gizay machlis, just like a palm tree's trunk does not regenerate, if you cut down a palm tree, it never regrows, af tzaddik chas v'sholem ein gizay machlis, you might think the same thing is true of a tzaddik, that his trunk is not going to regenerate, which means Rashi says it can mean that the tzaddik is not going to have a zecher. It can mean that he's not going to get up by tchias amesim. So you would think that would be the case. L'chach nema erez. Therefore the pasuk also compares it instead. Therefore, the pasuk also compares him instead to a cedar tree, where even if you chop down a cedar tree, it will regenerate. Ilu nema eres v'la nema tomar. But on the other hand, if it only compared the tzaddik to the cedar tree, not to the palm tree, ha'yisi omer, then we would have thought ma eres ein oisaperes af tzaddik chaser shalom ein oisaperes. You would think just like a cedar tree does not produce fruit, maybe a tzaddik does not produce fruit, meaning maybe he doesn't have a schar la'osid lavoi. Or in particular, it could mean also, for example, that he doesn't get the peiros of his mitzvahs in olam hazeh. L'chachnemer tomer, therefore it compares him to a palm tree which does have fruit. So the l'chachnemer tomer v'nemer eres, so that's why it says both. So the Gemara asks, the eres gizay machlik, you're telling me that a cedar tree, if you chop it down, will regenerate, will regrow? V'hatanya, we learn in a b'raisa, halakeach ilan machaber lochutz, if a person buys a tree from somebody else where the deal is that he's going to be able to chop down the tree to use for wood. So now the deal is he bought the wood, but the tree itself, the roots of the tree still belong to the original owner. So he has to have, so you have to leave him enough of it that the tree will be able to regenerate. So magbiyim in a karka tefach v'kotzes. So you have to cut it at least a tefach above the ground so that it will regenerate. The sada na shikma shnei tefachim. When it comes to the trunk of a shikma tree, in English it's called a sycamore tree. So those are, so there you need a larger amount, shnei tefachim. There you need to leave at least sadan a shikma, rather, is a shikma. The way they did with a shikma tree is they would cut off the branches as time went on, and that way the tree's energy goes into making the trunk itself thicker and thicker, and that way eventually you can use it for house beams and other things where you need very large pieces of wood. So a sadhana shikma is where you did that, is where over the years you had chopped off the branches and the trunk now is very thick. So that requires two tvachim in order for it to eventually regenerate. The psulas shikma, when you have a virgin shikma, namely one where the branches were never cut off, then if you're buying it in order to cut the wood of it off, then you need to leave shloisha tvachim. You need to leave the stump, needs to be at least three tvachim off the ground. And bakanim of kfanim, if you're buying reeds like bamboo or other such plants or grapevines, then you have to leave minakakulamila. Then you have to leave from the lowest section of it and further up. In other words, you can only cut it off above the lowest section because again it needs that in order to regenerate. But the Braisa says, when it comes to palm trees and when it comes to cedar trees, then the person who bought the wood is allowed to dig all the way down and even take the roots and use them. Because anyway, such trees are not going to regenerate once the trunk is cut. So therefore, there's no reason to leave the original owner anything because it's not going to continue growing anymore. So we see that neither cedar trees nor palm trees regenerate. So what are we saying? We're comparing the tzaddik to a cedar tree, which will regenerate. And the nimshal is, in other words, that he'll have a zecher and he'll have tchias amesim. The answer is chokhmah iskinen b'sh'ar mina arozim. The answer is, we're talking about over here about other kinds of cedar trees. So there's different trees that are all called cedars. There are 10 kinds of arozim. They have a pasuk in Yeshaya that lists 7 of them. We learned in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah a few weeks ago that the Chachamim then explained that there were 3 more, and there were 2 different versions what those other 3 are. But the point is, these trees are not necessarily related to each other, but they're all under the general category of erez. So therefore, among those, you have some of them where the trunk regenerates and some that don't. So the erez that the tzaddik is being compared to is the one where the trunk does regenerate. We continue tomorrow, Beis Hashem.
Shekhaich, a lot of interesting stuff here.